So, anyway, after the techpocalypse...
This episode is, in fact, brought to you by the good people at BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace and distribution site. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 704.
Oh, you've joined us on a really silly day. Fortunately, so has Charla, who asks...
Before I get to my question, I thought I'd let you know that when you say the support this podcast stuff, the recording of you saying it says, we can do it without you.
Okay. So this is a California accent thing. Californians have, as part of their native accent, the inability to use consonants. We're sort of the Cockneys of America. We imply all our consonants because we're too lazy to be bothered to use them. And speaking in the kind of crisp fashion I am right now is a learned skill. So a normal Californian, especially Northern Californian, will say, we can't do it without you. You notice how the T is just a breath stop instead of a proper T. Normally, when I'm on mic, I try to curb this behavior because it is, in fact, annoying for people who didn't grow up with that accent, and it is also sloppy and causes, as we see, confusion. So, in reality, we can't do it without you, and because of your kind pointing out that I have made this egregious error, I have fixed it. So, fortunately, you will now understand that genuinely, we can't do it without you. thanks for pointing it out, Charla. Anyway, on to your question.
Anyway, my question is, when mixing two genres, what are your suggestions for doing so without going too much in the way with one genre that you forget to continue the other genre?
So this boils down to two basic rules. The first is to know your genres, which means that you know your reader's expectations based on how the book is marketed. So, for example, there's a difference between hard-boiled detective fiction and noir, even though a lot of people confuse the two terms. Hard-boiled detective fiction is defined by its voice. Very voicey. It has a clipped, understated, but also kind of florid style. It's got an attitude about it. A very cynical worldview embedded in the narrative voice. A noir is a mystery book, whether it's hard-boiled detective fiction or police procedural or whatever, that resolves in a way that is fundamentally bleak. The term noir is French for black, which connotes a bleak worldview. It's fundamentally bleak, the good guys don't win, the resolution reinforces a sort of nihilistic view of the world. In all other mysteries, it doesn't matter how twisted things get, the resolution offers some light of hope, some sense, however thin, that good triumphs in the end. With noir, the only reordering of the universe that happens is that the truth about the universe being inherently chaotic and disordered is exposed. That's what mysteries are about. They're about setting the world to rights. It's restoring order in the midst of chaos. In romance, the difference between having a romantic plotline and having a romance is whether the characters live happily ever after. And if you set up and market your book as a romance and then everyone dies in the end, and it's not a supernatural romance where dying is like a perk because you go to heaven or you become an immortal or whatnot, then you haven't done a romance, you've done a romantic storyline. So you want to pay attention to what you're marketing, because that will set reader expectations. And by the same token, you also want to pay attention, both in terms of genre and in terms of the way you're telling the story, to the promises you're making to the reader in the first few chapters especially. There's a broad fuzzy line between subverting expectations and breaking a promise. but the bright center of that broad fuzzy line is crossed when you fail to carry to completion something you had set up as important. If you had set something up as really important and then it later turns out not to be, that's not a broken promise. That is a subverted expectation. But if you simply forget about it and the story thread just drops away, that's a broken promise. You want to avoid that. A subverted expectation in a romance, or in something that seems to be a romance, for example, as long as you don't market it as a romance, would be that your main characters, your romantic partners, turn out to be right before they have sex, or right after they have sex, if you're particularly cruel to your readers, close incestuous relations, without having known it before this point. Oh, the drama, the things you can do with that. Or one of them turns out, the non-point of view one, turns out to be a con artist or a spy or someone who is having one over on their partner. That's a subverted expectation. Having the main characters develop an intense sexual and romantic tension that is then forgotten about and never readdressed, even in the coda at the very end, that's a problem. That's a broken promise. So you want to know your genres so that you know what elements make a genre for how you blend it well, and you want to keep your promises. As long as you do those two things, everything else should pretty much take care of itself, as long as you can figure out what it is you're promising your reader. Now, this is a trick you can teach yourself, and it's a very useful skill to learn, but it does take a bit of practice. And that is, especially if you get lost in the middle of the book, go back to the beginning and read the first three or four chapters as if it's not yours, as much as you can. Bring your inner reader to the front and pay attention to what that reader begins to expect. Don't say, well, I know that this isn't how this is going to go, so I'm going to ignore this part. You want to listen to those expectations so that you can find the promises that you've made. Once you do that, you can even write them down in a list if you need to. Then you'll be able to tell if you've lost the plot somewhere along the line. And like I said, that takes a bit of practice, so if you have a first reader you really trust, this is a good way to use them as well, especially if you feel like you're lost. So, that's what I got for you. I hope it helps. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.